today as we come to the table.
Now you see the hatred they had toward Daniel and the God of Daniel. And again, that same spirit is around today. There's radical forces that are radically against Jesus Christ and radically against believers, and it's led by the demonic realm. That's what's going on here. It's not just pass the law so we can't do it. It's pass the law so we can watch him suffer and be tortured. And again, all these horrible things happen here, again, if Daniel does this. So again, the king here, again, they foolishly, notice verse 9, the king Darius, he signed the written decree. He didn't think about it. He didn't think it through. Until suddenly they're going to come to him at the end of this day and say, guess what, O king? You're number two guy. He's disobeying your law.
There was a severe hatred towards Daniel and his God in the Old Testament story of Daniel and the lion's den. Those same demonic forces still exist today. There are radical forces in our culture trying to stop God's people and his word. We need to be prepared, just like Daniel, to make a decision to follow God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark admonishes us to be sure our fear shifts over to his boldness. We can only become bold when, like Daniel, we have established a daily routine of seeking God. When we follow his guidelines, then we are prepared to turn that fear of evil into boldness and become a mighty tool in God's hands. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
It's going to corner believers that if we teach the Word of God, what they're going to say is, you know what? These are now normal things, and we're going to pass laws to protect these people that are doing this way. And if you say anything from the pulpit or anywhere else against that, then you're going to be breaking law. You're going to be a hater. You're a hater. Now you're going to be in trouble. Look, we saw recently they went as far as for these moms. You got to love these moms. They showed up at these board meetings, whatever, stand up for their kids, and you know, all fiery. Say, you're not going to teach our kids that. And they start saying they were domestic terrorists. See, if you can change the language and take someone who's innocent, but change the language to make them guilty, that person stays the same, but the laws around them change. Guys, I believe that's coming to a world near you. Satan has done it in the past. I think he's going to do it again. I wouldn't be surprised if before long, certain things that I might teach from the pulpit might be against the law and might even be classified as a hate crime because I said that something was wrong. And again, in reality, it's actually a love crime. If there's any, the word crime doesn't really fit. It's the greatest measure of love you could do. Why? Because if somebody didn't come to me and say, Mark, you're living in sin, you need to repent, I never would have known. I wouldn't have repented. But someone was faithful to share that with me, and now I have eternity and I'm forgiven. Thank you for telling me I'm a sinner. Praise God that you had the boldness to do that. Because now I know how to be saved. How sad it is when somebody says, no, you can't tell them that. No, you can't try to bring them back away from that. You can't lead them to God. And so when I see this happening to Daniel, I'm like, here, again, I see it happening here, and then I watch what's happening even with some of the bills that they've tried to pass over the last few years in Congress that would have made certain things in the Bible illegal to teach. That's happened. Maybe you're not aware of it. As a pastor, I'm very aware. I know when these bills come up because I recognize what's happening, and I'm very aware of it, and it's going to be one of those things where one day it may actually pass. What then? And Daniel's going to be facing that. It's going to be a what then moment. If we don't pray for boldness now and decide where we're going to stand now and continue to do what we've done our whole life as Daniel's custom was, we're going to fail then. This is the moment, guys, to be bold, not when the trial comes. We need to be bold before the bill passes. We need to be bold before the language changes. And suddenly you, simply because you believe the Bible, get lumped in with something that's illegal or puts a label on you that is not true. And it's happening. Satan's very clever. If he can't get us one way, he'll get us another. His tactics, as we said, they don't change. And so Daniel now is facing this. And they realize, all right, if we can't catch Daniel in anything that he's doing against the current laws, we will make new laws to trap him. And look what happens here in verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king. So they came in this huge multitude, and they said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. Notice how firm they are in this bill they're writing in Congress. A firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, a little bit of flattery thrown in here, right, to lure him in, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, several things to note here. You talk about lion, they're lying. Because they said at the very beginning, all of the governors and satraps. No, Daniel didn't. Daniel wasn't even there. Daniel was over all of them. He was the vice king, if you want to put it in modern day language. And they're saying, everybody's in agreement. No, just one of the most powerful men in the kingdom's in disagreement. And they're tricking the king who loved Daniel. He saw Daniel's distinguishedness. He saw Daniel's excellent spirit. He's being tricked here by flattery. Oh, king, no one can pray to anyone but you because you're so great. And the king's probably thinking, well, you know, I guess that does create loyalty, and so I'll go along with it. I don't think he was excessively prideful because of his heart toward Daniel. We'll see later in the chapter, but he allowed the flattery to get through. He didn't read between the lines, and now he's got a big problem here. And notice how radical this is. Again, he should have noticed. Again, now the difference, here comes the difference in Babylon and Medes and Persians, okay? The laws of Babylon can be changed immediately. If you passed a law in Babylon, the king could make a law and then change it the next moment. Not so with the Medes and Persians. They had kind of a Congress, Senate, that kind of thing we have. It wasn't a Congress and Senate. Don't be confused there, but a setup of leaders that way. If you passed a law, if the bill passed, you had to go back to the Congress to pass another bill to change it. And so they knew if they did this, they had Daniel trapped. So notice their language. Make a firm decree that cannot be changed. And they had it down in writing. And notice how radical they are, that they may be thrown in the lion's den? I mean, how about a heavy fine? Or maybe they lose their whatever, their position or what. But why are you so radical? You want to take a human being and throw him to animals that eat him alive. Now you see the hatred they had toward Daniel and the God of Daniel. And again, that same spirit is around today. There's radical forces that are radically against Jesus Christ and radically against believers, and it's led by the demonic realm. That's what's going on here. It's not just pass a law so we can't do it. It's pass a law so we can watch him suffer and be tortured. And again, all these horrible things happen here, again, if Daniel does this. So again, the king here, again, they foolishly, notice verse 9, the king Darius, he signed the written decree. He didn't think about it. He didn't think it through until suddenly they're going to come to him at the end of this day and say, guess what, O king? You're number two guy. He's disobeying your law. And he's going to realize at that moment, I've been had. But look at this, between verse 9 and verse 10, guys, this is where it's decision time. Daniel heard about this. Look at the first few lines of verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew, I have that underlined, when Daniel knew, Daniel heard this, and now is the moment of truth. What are we going to do when Christians become haters by law simply because we believe the Bible? What are you going to do, Christian? What's going to happen if that happens? Look, I'm not trying to bring fear in your heart. As a matter of fact, I learned something very interesting recently, the physiology of the brain, the way it works, and I think I see God in this so much, that fear and boldness are linked in the brain. Somehow they're linked. I don't know how they know this or whatever, but I was just recently, this was brought to my attention. They're linked, and what they tell us, those who study these things, they say that if fear begins to take over, if you can somehow shift that over into the bold realm, which is right next to it, you'll become just as bold as you were fearful. Isn't that great? God's design, what that means is that's why in battle, you think all these men that go in battle aren't afraid? They're human. They may be tough. They may be well-trained, but they're human. Nobody wants to be shot up and blown up. Nobody. Naturally, that's not something you desire, right? So you get afraid, and what happens is when they realize, I have to fight, the fight is on. That first step to break out of that fear and start fighting is when it shifts over, they say, into the bold side, and suddenly you see these warriors running into battle, just, you know, all the army movies or whatever the case might be, and again, the little boy coming out there, but you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, it's true for men and women. So when you're feeling that fear, if you can just say, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid of this. Here we go. I'm stepping into it. I'm going to do it. It'll shift over into boldness, and you'll become very bold. This is where Daniel is. It's one thing to think, all right, I may lose my position. I may even be put to death. No, this is wild animals are going to eat me while I'm alive. Again, I don't want to paint too much of a picture, but that's what Daniel's facing between verse 9 and verse 10. What's Daniel going to do? What are we going to do when these types of things, if they do come down the road for us sometime, what are we going to do? And that's why we have to decide right now. And we're going to see in a moment, the reason Daniel was able to make the decision between verse 9 and verse 10 to do what he did is because he already had an established life with God on a daily basis for years and years and years, and he was ready. Do you have that? Because if you don't have that, when the trial comes, you're not going to be ready. You see, it's not that some Christians can be super Christians and others can't. It's that some simply follow the guidelines of what the Lord has told us to do. And because of that, when the trial comes, by the power of the Spirit, we can stand. It's God doing it, but it's God's plan that enables us to do it. So make sure that you're following God's plan. Again, we'll talk about more of that in just a moment as we wrap it up. But notice what Daniel does. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Now, it would have been easy to kind of lay low for 30 days, wouldn't it? But that's what he does. And in his upper room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day. No doubt he knew they were watching him. He knew they were spying. They already knew he was going to do this. That's why they made up this bogus law. And he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. Note this, he did the same thing he'd done his entire life, and we need to do the same thing we've done our entire life if we have a life established with the Lord. If we don't have a life established with the Lord, then we need to change it. And notice, as his custom was, that means that Daniel had a regular practice of going before the Lord, seeking God, and getting wisdom from God in his life. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you don't have that, it's time to start. You're going to need it more than ever, because whether you like it or not, you say, well, I just won't jump into the battle. The battle's coming to you. And you can sit back and wait while you hear the front lines and everybody's over there fighting. You can do that and say, I'm going to stay back here or whatever. The battle's going to get to you. And when the battle gets to you, you better be ready to go. And the way you do that is establishing a regular life with God. Daniel's custom. And again, there's several things here that Daniel did. It's interesting here. Notice he did this three times a day. First thing was he would pray. And he did this three times a day. Why was Daniel praying three times a day? Well, probably because they had the morning and evening sacrifice they would do when Daniel was growing up there in Jerusalem. He probably established a regular habit of prayer in the morning. The priest would offer a morning lamb and the priest would offer an evening lamb. And it would appear that Daniel kind of got in this pattern of praying in the morning and praying in the evening. And knowing Daniel and his heart for God, he said, well, that's not enough for me. I'm going to pray in the middle of the day too, right? Kind of a God sandwich. You got on both sides, the bread on both sides and the meat in the middle. We're going to do this thing. And so Daniel was a man of prayer throughout the day. And again, I think maybe even Daniel got this from his father further down the line ahead of him. That is David, because he was in the line of Judah, where David wrote in Psalm 55:17, he said, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So David followed this tradition as well. Now, I'm not saying that means we have to do that. That's not a bad thing to do. I think that praying throughout the day is a great thing to do, and we should pray throughout the day. But again, this is something they felt convicted to do in the way that God led them. But again, this is why I said, notice what he does. He throws open the windows and he begins to pray like it was any other day. This is why he called Daniel a lion among men, because he realized they're watching me. Now, notice what he did. Daniel didn't run out into the streets to make a scene. Oh, Lord God of heaven, they've now outlawed your word, and I'm going to stand right here and say that these things are wrong, and those people are sinners, and I'm going to do that. He didn't go out and draw attention to himself. He wasn't obnoxious. He just did what he'd always done. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in the word. I'm going to be in fellowship. Today we say go to church. I'm going to do everything I've always done and keep seeking God regardless of how the laws around me change. I'm going to keep teaching and believing the same thing I've always taught regardless of how the laws around me change and whatever happens, because God doesn't change. Man does, but God doesn't. Daniel did that. And yet, because Daniel was doing that, he knew he was being watched. And this shows the boldness that he had, because in essence, this is the decision that was made for the lion's den right here. It wasn't in the lion's den, that's when it hit him. No, right now is the decision. I will be thrown in the lion's den if I do this, but God, I will not deny you. I will not allow the laws of the land to cause me to deny my God. I will not fear man over fearing you. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, the only thing that the world can do to us down here is temporary. It may not be fun, but it's temporary. Our dealings with God are eternal. Do you see the difference in magnitude here? Temporary, eternal. We need to make the right decision. And by the way, I want to encourage you guys about being bold for the Lord. Should you ever face some situation where you have some major persecution because you make a stand for God, If you go and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, I've shared this with you before, and other testimonies of those who watched Christians being persecuted, they were astounded at their peace and their boldness. They were actually singing while they were putting them to death in many instances. Guys, that's supernatural. What is my point? Should you ever face that, I believe God's going to come in with a supernatural power and joy that you're not going to know until you need it. And I don't think it's going to be a thing of, oh, I think it's going to be a thing of, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we go. And you're just going to step into the kingdom singing and giving praise to God. God will give you what you need. And history has proven it. And the witnesses to the martyrs have proven it as well. Take courage, you little sheep with lion's heads. Take courage. Your God will give you boldness. He will be your strength. He will help you. He will not give you more than you can handle. God is faithful. And again, we see Daniel, or rather Peter, you know, when they were confronting him about don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. He said, whether it's right to obey God or you, look at verse Acts 5:29. He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. He said, you decide. You guys decide what's right or wrong, but we're going to obey God. We're not going to obey men. That boldness came from God and by the Spirit of God. And by the way, just before this, Peter had been afraid. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. And then all of a sudden, when the Spirit was poured out, Peter stands up before all those people that put the Lord to death and said, you're all sinners and you need to repent. Where did that come from? I don't think it was a motivational class he got at his church or some preacher that encouraged him that day. It was supernatural. That's why we have to pray, God, come upon us with your Spirit. Give us supernatural power. Give us supernatural boldness. We will be your witnesses if you do that. So we leave it on him, and God will be faithful to do that. And by the way, when you see all this boldness and trials or whatever, you think, and especially when he's dealing with the government here, notice this, this brings up a question. What about government authorities? What happens when the government passes a law or says that we have to do something that goes against God's word or our conscience? Guys, notice there's two things you can't violate. God's word and your conscience. And if those things are violated, you need to simply say no and trust God with the outcome of whatever's going to happen. That's exactly what Peter was doing. That's what Daniel's doing. That's what we need to be doing as well. So what do we do when the Bible says in Romans 13, come under the governing authorities? Yes, unless they go against the word of God and against our conscience. And then the Bible says there's a higher authority, and that's God Almighty. And so we stand firm, and we trust God with the consequences and the outcome. Daniel is now doing that very thing. And again, I want to again point out some things. It wouldn't be fair before we finish today to tell you to be bold in the Lord and not give you some ammunition on how to do that. And the first thing we see here when it comes to Daniel being bold, I want you to note this, is Daniel had an established daily life with God. If you do not have an established daily life with God, step one's already gone. You don't even have step one. Listen. Start a daily established life with God. Mark, what does that mean? It means simply get in the Bible, read some Bible every day, read some of the Bible, however you want to do it. Start at the beginning through a book, whatever you want to do. One of these through the year, like the ladies are doing, you know, bouncing, however you want to do it. Be in the Word of God and then pray. And I'll tell you, when it comes to praying, praying is something you have to develop over time. Praying is not always easy. And a lot of people may not want to admit that, but prayer can be very hard. I mean, to make yourself pray, everything seems to interfere with that. You got to remember, there's a spiritual battle going on when you're trying to pray. But if you will say, I'm not going to let anything interrupt this. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture. I'm going to pray. And if you get in a regular habit of that day after day after day after day, eventually it becomes such a part of your life, you can't imagine not having it. And guys, I'll tell you, some of the sweetest moments I have, I look forward to getting alone to be with God. It's exciting. It's where I get to pour out my heart. It's where I get to share my heart with God, hear him share his heart with me. It's where God speaks to me. Again, he does it beyond that, but there needs to be that relationship. And I also want to encourage you, you don't have to be a Superman hero to do that either, especially if you're first starting. Just read a chapter and pray for 5 minutes. Start there. Just if you try to read for 30 minutes or whatever and read a whole book of the Bible and what you're going to get to where, look, you just start that. It may be too hard. And if you can do that, praise the Lord. But start out gentle. Let God grow it. One chapter will turn to two. Two chapters will turn to three. 5 minutes will turn to 10. 10 minutes will turn to 15. Let God grow it as he wants to grow it. And don't feel a pressure. It's not a works thing. You're not earning anything. You're his child. He loves you already. Whether you're in the Bible in prayer or not, he loves you. But he sees your weakness if you're not getting the power you need in the Word of God in prayer. So Daniel had a custom in his life to do this. We need to develop and make it a custom in our life and follow through. So that's the first thing. Secondly, notice here, it says that when Daniel threw the windows open and prayed toward Jerusalem, he gave thanks to the God of heaven. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful, even in the midst of trials. Look, if anybody could say this is not a moment to be thankful, it could be Daniel. God, how could you let this happen? I've served you all these years. They're going to throw me to lions. No, Daniel, no doubt, was saying, God, I thank you so much. I've had the privilege to serve you. And even if they throw me to the lions, I thank you that I'm going to be in the kingdom with you and that you're my God. I don't know what Daniel was saying, but Daniel was thanking, it says. He was thankful. Now, note this. The Bible doesn't say to be thankful for those things that happened in our life. It says to be thankful in them. So I'm not thankful that I broke my leg and wrecked my car, okay? But I'm thankful that I didn't break both legs and die. God, thank you that you spared my life. Thank you, Lord, that you know, whatever. You can. There's so many things to be thankful for. So be thankful in these things. Not necessarily have to be thankful for them, but thankful in them. Daniel was thankful in God's faithfulness. He was thankful for what God had done, and he was giving thanks to the Lord. That's the second thing, having the established life with God. Number two, being thankful, even in the midst of trials. And the last thing, notice he threw his windows open to Jerusalem, toward Jerusalem to pray. This goes back to Solomon. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, God, if any of our people are outside of Israel and they turn and face toward the temple in Jerusalem, hear their prayer in heaven. It was symbolic to them, not that God was in Jerusalem only, but it was symbolic that you're the God we serve, and in essence, we're turning our eyes to you. Here's the third thing. When we find ourselves in the midst of trials and hard times, we turn our eyes to the Lord and firmly fix them there. You know, we see Peter, remember the classic, he got his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink when he was trying to walk on water because he got his eyes off the Lord. Now we see the same thing here. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Daniel gets his eyes fixed on the Lord. So he's in the word and prayer on a regular basis. He's thanking God for God's faithfulness. His eyes are firmly fixed on the Lord. And because of this, he's able to find the strength that he needs to walk with God. As we finish today, and I just want to say this, we need to become men and women of consistency with God, men and women of prayer with God, but we also need to be men and women who are bold for God. We need to be men among lions, or lions among men, rather, and it would work the other way too. And you need to be lionesses among women, you ladies. And that only comes from time with God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God desires, and that's what we need to be, especially in the days that we're living. So I want to finish today as we pray. I want to pray that, again, God would help us to be bold, that God would give us that boldness, and that God would give those of you that maybe don't have a daily established custom, as it was, of seeking God every day, that would begin today, not by your own efforts. You're going to have to put effort in the sense of going to do it, but it's going to be God that has to give you the power, or you're never going to be able to follow through. So I'm going to pray for both as we finish today. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for, again, the example Daniel gave us and showing us, Lord, how Daniel was able to do it. It wasn't by his might or his power. It was you. But God, Daniel established a regular custom of seeking you daily, and he didn't vary from it. Even when the trials came, even when the laws changed, even when life got difficult, Lord, Daniel stayed faithful. He followed through with staying consistent in his relationship to you. Lord, Daniel was thankful. He thanked you for all the things you've done and didn't focus on the things that had gone wrong. Give us a heart like that as well.
Do you find it hard to faithfully serve God in this ever-increasing sinful world? The draw to engage in fleshly desires is strong for sure. So, what do you do when those temptations come? When your faith is challenged, do you trust in God to give you the courage to stand as he did with Daniel and his friends? That's right. Daniel lived during the time of oppressive Babylonian rule, but still managed to serve God. This gives me encouragement. It propels me to follow Daniel's example as I go about my daily tasks. Come to the Tables Ministry flows from Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee, where hearts are devoted to spreading the good news of the gospel. If you've been a long-time listener, we're thankful you keep coming back. But we have something to ask you. Would you invite your friends and family to listen to our broadcasts? We welcome newcomers here and at our church service. Would you consider joining Calvary Knoxville on a Saturday evening, Sunday morning, or a midweek evening? For times and directions, visit thewaymedia.net. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. We'd encourage you to drop what you're doing and go there now. You won't regret it. In fact, we hope you stay a while and check out other messages of Pastor Mark Kirk's. His teachings go beyond the book of Daniel and are worth a listen. While you're there, don't miss links to our podcasts. This is a great tool to utilize if you're always on the move. Do you have questions or comments about what you heard today? Get started by clicking the Come to the Table tab on thewaymedia.net. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.